Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds.
Recently, I asked Mint Mobile's legal team if big wireless companies are allowed to raise prices due to inflation. They said yes. And then when I asked if raising prices technically violates those onerous two-year contracts, they said, what the f*** are you talking about, you insane Hollywood ass f-. So to recap, we're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month.
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Support WrestleTalk!
Give us a subscribe.
Making their way to the ring at a combined weight of undeniably sexy, hailing from London, the Wrestle Ramble Podcast!
Hello and welcome to the Wrestle Ramble Podcast. I am Ollie Davis and I'm joined by a sweaty, by a healthy, by a slightly more muscular than he was 2 hours ago, Luke Owen.
Hello, Swaff Nation, and a hello to you. Equally sweaty, equally healthy, and equally bigger muscles than you did have 2 hours ago. How the devil are you?
I'm good. The reason we're doing this is because we just went to the gym.
We're trying to be better.
The first gym session with us both since you returned from the cupboard.
Yes.
Because there must have been a lot of atrophying going on in there. A trophy's not a good thing, by the way.
I was going to say...
It's not a physical object that you're rewarded with. It's a process by which muscle decays.
Oh, really? Atrophy?
Atrophy, yes.
What did you say? A trophy?
A trophy.
Yes, I mean, I do hate to suffer from a trophy.
A trophies are the worst.
Would you like some correspondence?
God, you dived into that quick.
Oh, yeah.
I thought you'd do an anecdote or two about the gym.
Well, people don't... I think I don't want to be that person. Like, I said this when we first talked about the fact that I've now signed up for the gym, which I've now done, put in the wrong gym that I'm meant to go to, obviously, because I'm an idiot, and I've now got to pay a little bit extra. I've even got to pay an admin fee of 12 pence to get it changed, because I'm an idiot.
But you are now a card-carrying member of the gym. The brand is literally called The Gym.
Yeah. I mean, it's quite clever, really, when you think about it, because everyone says, like, I'm going to the gym. And so now, anytime anyone says that, like, no one ever says, I'm going to the Rivers, which is another, like, brand of gym, or I'm going to the Ballantines. No, they say, I'm going to the gym. It's very clever, really, when you think
very
about
good
it.
Very good search optimization.
Yes.
Yes.
Very good. Love a bit of SEO chat on the podcast. We need to have more of it. So anyway, do you remember Harry Iverson's email?
Yes. The one that you so eloquently read.
Oh, God, didn't about I do such a good job?
Airport job. His old airport job, I believe.
I believe so, yes.
Yeah, and there was a European tour of WWE superstars, and it was Roman Reigns... And go, not you, Roman
you,
Reigns.
You put Roman Reigns in there twice now.
I just got Michael Cole's voice going, the big dog
of the big plane.
Over a visual of Roman Reigns walking down those little steps that they put next to planes.
Do you know who really is the big dog?
No.
Tomohiro Ishii. Mm. Like he's the pit bull.
Stone pit bull.
Yeah. He's literally the big, and he's big.
I don't, he's more, he's not big though. He's
tell that to his face.
Well, I'm about a foot taller than him.
I mean, like wide though.
Yeah, yeah, but he's still like, I mean, yeah, he's not that impressive physically in the slightest. But there's something about the man in his gear where he just looks hard as nails.
He certainly does. But anyway, Harry Iverson has got in touch with a reply to some of our questions that you posed. So I'll try and do a good job of this. Now, he does say, he said, sorry for the lack of my punctuation. I have dyslexia, and I like this. Because, not that he's got dyslexia, obviously, that's terrible. I like this because he's got some wicked self-depreciating humour in
nice.
Here, which just shows you how good of a man this lad is. I had dyslexia, and when I get into typing sentences, I forget that sometimes people take a breath while reading and know when a sentence, period, ends.
Oh, that's meta.
That's meta.
I mean, I hope it is, otherwise we're just making fun
of your inability to use
no, because he has then got
correctly.
... Anywho, I think he was, I think it's all on purpose. And if it wasn't, Harry, just pretend that it was, mate. Because I thought it was wonderful.
Turn that trip into a little jig.
Anywho, first off, the bait room was just the part of the airport where we would have our breaks between flights. So a break room.
Oh, not a bait room. It was just an autocorrect.
Well, no, he's said bait room again. So, I mean, I would say that's like, maybe it's a technical airport term, but like,
bait.
That sounds like a break room to me.
B-A-T-E or B-A-I-T?
No, B-A-T-E.
B-A-T-E.
Yeah.
A bet room.
Sort of the office with a lounge added onto it. Not too dissimilar to our studio, actually, really. Where are we? For the date, we were off to see them on Sunday, the 6th of November, 2016. They landed that day too, with it being so early in the morning. Goldust was not in his full face paint. I didn't get close enough to get a good whiff of AJ, but I am guessing some sort of extravagant conditioner to keep his hair so luscious.
Herbal essences.
I would assume so, yeah, absolutely. I could definitely see him in... Is that the one with the advert where the woman's, like, in a jungle and she's essentially having an orgasm while washing her hair?
Yeah, she really is enjoying
she
that
She loves
shower.
It, yeah.
Hey, and I'm enjoying watching her.
And I've heard through the grapevine that women do tend to love showers because you can do little tricks with the shower head.
Where the hell has this come from?
Hey, we were just talking about women enjoying showers. I'm just saying...
I know, but there's, like, there's... You don't often make sexy jokes. So when you do, it throws me so much. I will constantly go, "Hey Luke, look at this," and just point out attractive women on my computer screen. I'm not watching pornography, but just like, you know, just out and about on the internet.
Yeah.
And you'll just like no-sell it.
Of course you've got to no-sell it.
But then like occasion or like I'll be like Nia Jax's top on Raw, hey, in that segment. That was booby. And you'd be like, yeah. But then, like, out of nowhere, you're just...
But that's not... what I said then was not doing any form of objectifying. I was saying a literal fact.
Okay.
Yeah. And actually, in fairness, Nia Jax's top was meshed on Monday night.
Mm.
And there was cleavage there. That also
that
is...
That is a fact.
That is a fact.
Yeah. We're like Eli Drake over here.
With the facts of life.
Do you think we should make that a new gimmick? Just like objectifying female wrestlers, but then go facts.
Yeah.
And then you can't argue with that, feminazis. It's
yeah,
a fact.
Yeah, libtards, SJWs or whatever. Soy boys, my new favourite one.
Soy boys.
Soy boys, yeah, that's my because apparently, like, if you just think that women should have equal rights, you also like soy milk and are vegan, I guess is the term.
I mean, I bet the Venn diagram is pretty pretty well crossed over for those bits.
Also, like, what's wrong with liking soy milk?
Gives it a lot of estrogen.
It's not. That's a lie. We've been through this. That was planted by the dairy industry to make people not buy it. Just in the same way, before you say anything, just in the same way that the dairy industry for years lied that drinking milk gives you calcium, when in fact it's been scientifically proven that it doesn't. And so now milk goes like, well, actually, if you drink loads of it, it just gives you this instead. It's like, well, why should I believe that? You've been telling me for years it gives you calcium. That's not true. You made it up.
How do you know all of that isn't a ploy by the soy industry to discredit the good old poor dairy farmers who Justin Trudeau is ripping off up there? I feel like we're Brits.
Yeah.
We're watching this from an impartial wry smile across the pond.
Yeah.
But I feel like the events of South Park the movie are going to happen.
I know. I was just thinking this. We're all just going to blame Canada is just going to be ringing throughout the... like that's going to be Trump's next campaign, essentially. That's going to be his next campaign song.
I just hope it's really sensitively dealt with in wrestling.
I mean, it usually is anyway, because you've got, like, Sami Zayn going, like, by the way, I'm Canadian, and I also speak French. Those are two things that you hate, Americans.
Just bring Bret Hart back in. Sorry, carry on with the
carry on with this email. Where do we get to? AJ's hair so luscious. I believe I saw Kalisto without his mask, but he did have Beats headphones. I didn't see much of the inside of the plane, but from past ventures to Newcastle Airport, one of the WWE lot bent the pole that you hold onto the bus, and the evidence was definitely there. So you know, like, the pole that you hold onto?
Yeah.
They bent it, apparently.
Through just muscle memory of tests of strength?
I guess so.
Or because they're so muscular.
Just so muscular,
their
they're
frame.
Just like... like essentially bending the bus in half. But it was Braun.
Wow. Yeah, he has previous.
He does. Apparently, when the WWE lot come to airports, they're quite rowdy. Well, they are if K-Quick's there. K-Quick, R-Truth is there. Because he's always getting rowdy. That's his whole deal.
What's up?
What is up?
Planes.
Nice. That was excellent. Get quite rowdy, but not that night, because they had just done a show in Manchester, and that's where their flight had come in from. So they'd flown from Manchester to Newcastle, which I think would probably be quicker to drive. Well, there you are, I suppose you're going from west to east.
Americans don't get the concept of... Well, maybe they do, because they do a lot of road trips, but I feel like the WWE gang... Just default planes.
But I think
everywhere.
Like driving to the airport, waiting at the airport to get a flight, and then flying in, and then doing all like the stuff on the outside. I just think that seems like that seems more hassle than it's really worth. But mate, that's just me. I'm not in charge of WWE travel. You know, this is why
I'm not a logistics man.
I am not a logistics man. The flight got in at 3 a.m. and it was about -1 degrees. I put the heating on for them, and one of KO's tweets back to me said that he was a bit warm on the bus for his Canadian blood. So
great bants.
Great banter. I hope this helped. And if you have any more questions, don't hesitate to ask. Oh, one more. The trip from plane to airport took 5 minutes because that was the fastest I could go at 15 miles an hour. And the plane was the furthest stand away from the airport. Love you both. Goodbye. So I actually thought that it was like a, you know how you get when you go to an airport and you can get the bus that takes you from car parks to the airport.
Yes.
I thought that's the bus that he was, but no. He was the bus that takes you from the plane to the terminal.
Wow.
Wow. Well, you know, just to get that absolutely clarified out there. Thank you very much, Harry Iverson. I've also got another bit of correspondence.
Let's do it after. Yes.
Man, if you let me finish.
Sorry.
We'll do it in the outro.
Nice. Sorry, because we are over 10 minutes. We've got NXT predictions to record.
But man, we did get political, though. So, I mean, yeah. I thought it was like totally worthwhile.
How did we even get onto that? Yep, here's the show, where we're going to start off talking about that 7-foot-tall wrestler, Big Cass, who was away for about 9 months because he got injured about a month or two into his heel turn and first ever singles push away from Enzo Amore. Remember him? Mm. Real One, you might know him as now, in his successful rap artist career.
The Phoenix.
Hip-hop legend, as Coachman would probably call him. And he's come back and he's been inserted into a very high-profile feud. It's Daniel Bryan's first singles feud since he's come out of retirement. And the whole thing with Big Cass is that he's big.
Yeah, and I suppose this is where this really comes into. You and I were trying to work out what we were going to talk about for this week's episode of SmackDown Live. And really the only thing that is kind of worth talking about on this show, although I didn't hate the show, I actually thought the show was actually pretty good.
Just not very newsworthy.
Just not very newsworthy. Is that... I am so sick and tired of seeing Cass cut promos about how he's tall. Like, it's just, since he's come back, it's all he's done. Mm. And every time you get to a promo, you're like, cool, what's it going to be? Oh, yep, you're tall. I get you. What's the game? Ah, you've got a fairground ride thing with you this time. And that's something about you being tall as well. And it just feels that, I try to picture the WWE writers' room in SmackDown, where they get their format together and then someone goes like, oh, we haven't got Big Cass doing anything this week. And they're like, yeah, I know, but like, we need to get down to the pub and I've got things to do. The TV's on. Like, we need to go and watch some stuff. And they're like,
that's a great Road Dogg impression.
It's like he's here in the room. And it's like, he just talks about being tall. And they just quickly slot it in there. And it's like just copy and paste from week to week to week. And it's like, he can do promos. I like Big Cass promos. But just give him different material. Like, just other than just being, oh, by the way, I am tall.
I just want to clarify my Road Dogg joke there. That was a joke at the hashtag Fire Road Dogg tweets. Not that I think Road Dogg's bad or the man responsible for the sometimes declining quality of shows.
It's always good to clarify jokes.
Yes, because otherwise they won't be funny.
No.
Yeah, you got to explain them. So, Big Cass, So let me pose this to you, Luke.
Please do.
Would you be so against or tired of Big Cass's character if he wasn't in a feud with Daniel Bryan, and he was instead in a mid-card feud with Ty Dillinger?
No, because it's not the fact that he's cutting these promos on Daniel Bryan. He could be cutting these promos on Ty Dillinger as well. The content of the promo is still the same, which is, I am tall.
But would the content annoy you as much?
Yeah. Because it's the same. He did this exact same promo last week.
I don't know. I got a kick out of it. Because when he started off with... SmackDown was in Memphis, and this was Big Cass's backstage promo, where Renee Young did the classic one question. She asked him one question, held the microphone to his face.
This is last week.
No, this week.
This week he was on his own.
No. Renee Young started the segment.
Did she?
And Big Cass just went, I'll take it from here, Renee.
Okay.
And Renee just disintegrated off, and he took the mic and stood there and talked to the camera.
Right.
It's like, what is the point of Renee Young? We like her. Anyway.
Could have had Jerry do that.
Yeah. Get three lines out of him rather than two. And Big Cass looks directly into the camera, and he starts talking about Memphis, because that's where SmackDown was from, and how he went to the local fair to open a new ride. And I was like, this is goofy. Where's this going? Because I couldn't quite figure out what he was going to say. I thought he was going to make fun of carnies and Memphis. And then he went over to the height thing, and I thought, I didn't see that. I know it's obvious in retrospect, but I didn't see that particular way of saying how tall he is this week. And I honestly, I think if this was a mid-card feud with a Ty Dillinger or even a Randy Orton, and it wasn't pushed so heavily in a main event level, and we would both be sitting here going, Big Cass did another tall thing this week.
But okay, so as a counterpoint to that, if Alexa Bliss had done more of these Moments of Bliss promos that she did, and I really liked the Moments of Bliss promos she did, but if she had done them like 6 weeks in a row, by the time you got to the sixth week, you'd be like, actually, I'm a little bit tired of this now.
So that ran for about 3 weeks.
I think she only did two of them.
Yeah, maybe. And Cass has just done two of this. He did the interview last week out in front of the crowd.
Yes, but he's been doing this promo since he came back. That's my point, is that all he's had is just the exact same promo with a different background. Like, if he had done the things like, they asked me to open up these rides. You know why? Because I'm a star, Daniel Bryan, and you're not. Like, and I am a star for X, Y, and Z. That's a different promo. Like, you can do things around that. Like I said in the SmackDown review, like, he could talk about how much he hates Daniel Bryan. That would be a different promo. How he feels that he's a bigger star, that's a different promo. How he didn't have to do the indies like you did. I didn't have to go to Japan. I walked into the WWE. That's a different promo. This is the exact same promo he did last week. It's the exact same promo he did when he came back from injury. That's my problem with it. There's nothing new about it. I'm sick of hearing him say, I am tall.
I sounds like a small man's complex to me.
Well, your I am. Problem. I am 5'10".
I honestly totally see where you're coming from. It's not getting to me as much. What's getting to me is the fact that he is at the level he is on the card.
I really don't think that's an issue. For me, it's not.
With that character.
I don't think it's... I don't. That for me is
so it's not,
not
the content of his promos.
It is the content of the promo, but it's not... It's not his position on the card that annoys me. It's just the fact that he's been cutting the same promo now for what feels like 8 weeks.
But it's tied into each other. So the content of the promos is that he's tall. His character really is just that he's tall. Mm. And I don't think being tall is a main event program caliber gimmick.
It's not.
So it is his character, and that is...
Yeah, but I think that Cass's position on the card is fine. His character needs a refresh, hence the title of this video. I don't mind Cass being in a high-profile feud because he can cut a really good promo and he has got a presence about him. I don't mind him being into that upper mid-card position, but just give him new content when cutting promos.
Yeah, I mean, I'm the opposite side to that, I think. I like his character, but I think it's a lower mid card.
You want
gimmick.
To see him feuding with Ty Dillinger as opposed to Daniel Bryan.
Occasionally, Jeff Hardy for the US title, a championship I forgot existed until this week.
Poor old Jeff, he has been injured for a while.
So what have you? Because we don't want to just present problems.
Well, no.
Have you got any solutions?
Well,
I suddenly had this.
I had this like revelation then, where I was like, I felt like yesterday I was the one that was coming across as the negative Nelly, and then today, I'm not, because I did enjoy this show. We just needed to find something to talk about, and this is about the only thing that was newsworthy to talk about. And it's just that I don't like him talking about the same thing over and over again. But anyway, I actually think that a Cass promo is him in the suit, him talking about being a star, essentially doing like a I don't want to say a watered down version of, but like the Triple H Evolution character he had, which is just like, guys, look at me. I'm an absolute star. There's a reason why this company should be built around me. Look how great I am. Like, that's a much better character, a more interesting character. That's some one that suddenly doesn't fall down as much when he just has consistently lost since he came back.
Mm. Well, that's the other side of it, and that these promos would be a lot more bearable if he wasn't beaten so one-sidedly at Backlash and then on SmackDown 2 weeks later.
Yes.
So I don't know what I would repackage Cass as, because I wouldn't put him as a killer.
No.
Because he's a bit too bland for that. I like him in a suit, so maybe there's something there. Corporate Cass.
Yeah.
Maybe. I mean, SmackDown only has one authority figure. He could be like some form of police chief.
He could be, yeah.
Police chief Cass.
I mean, I don't want to use the word constable, because I don't think WWE would ever use that word, because it's a ridiculous word to use.
Yeah.
But something along those lines.
Detective Inspector Cass.
Sheriff Cass.
Sheriff Cass isn't bad. But he's from New York.
Yeah, I was going to say, Sheriff Austin works because he is, you know, he was the bionic redneck. So you'd need to find, like, a good New York term.
New York stereotype to play off of.
Yeah. Sausage vendor.
Hot
dog vendor.
That's a crap gimmick right there.
The hot dog vendor.
Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds.
Recently, I asked Mint Mobile's legal team if big wireless companies are allowed to raise prices due to inflation. They said yes. And then when I asked if raising prices technically violates those onerous two-year contracts, they said, what the f*** are you talking about, you insane Hollywood ass f-? So to recap, we're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month. Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free. Or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Flexibility is great. That's why there's yoga. Flexibility for your insurance coverage is great too. That's why there's United Healthcare Insurance Plans. Underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, United Healthcare Insurance Plans offer flexible, budget-friendly coverage for medical, vision, dental, and more. One of these plans may be right for you if you're, say, between jobs, coming off your parents' plan, turning a side hustle into a full hustle, or even missed open enrollment. Want more flexibility? Find out more about United Healthcare Insurance Plans at uh1.com.
I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me, because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
It's a SmackDown review, Mangle, I love it. We got us a flying Uso.
I don't know if this is the same for the rest of the SWAF nation, but you've ruined a lot of women's segments for me. Because whenever I see how SmackDown started this week, because WWE like to play this format a lot, in my head, I start singing and then it comes out loud. Women standing in a row.
Yeah.
SmackDown women standing in a row.
Yeah, sorry about that.
But that's how it started. It was the much-anticipated Women's Summit.
Thank God they weren't on ladders. I mean, it wasn't as visually dynamic, but it made more sense.
Well, a summit is like a peak, isn't it? It's a mound. It's something above everything else. I guess a summit is also a kind of meeting. There's two definitions of it.
Yeah.
I just did. Yeah. I mean, I didn't want them on ladders.
But I also
felt cheated that they weren't.
So Paige was out here with the SmackDown side of the women's Money in the Bank. So you had Charlotte Flair, Becky Lynch, Lana and Naomi out there. And despite the fact that two of these women in particular have sort of been feuding with each other, everyone was just sort of standing in a row and saying why they were going to win Money in the Bank.
And next to each other as well.
Next to each other,
like
yes.
It would make more sense for Naomi and Lana to be opposite.
Yes.
And Becky and Charlotte to be opposite.
Oh, we'll come to them later. Oh, we will come to them later. So anyway, they're all standing there and Charlotte says like, look, I was NXT champion. I was Divas champion. I was Raw Women's champion. I've been SmackDown Women's champion. I haven't been Money in the Bank yet, so that I'm gonna win. And Becky Lynch she cut a promo saying like, I'm sick and tired of saying I was SmackDown Women's Champion. I am going to be SmackDown Women's Champion, which I thought was a really nice character beat for her.
Lynch had a great promo.
Oh, she's so good,
really good.
She's a great promo. But anyway, they all started saying why they were gonna win, and then I've missed these two. The Iconics came out. I felt like we haven't seen them in a while. I mean, I know I missed 2 weeks of TV, but were they on?
No, they weren't. It was all Absa. Hey, do you want to hear my new gag?
Oh, please do, because I can't think of one.
Absitution. It's not very good.
No, it's so much.
And it's awkward to write in my notes. It takes a lot longer to write than Absa. But they're not called Absolution anymore.
No, no.
I still call them that.
Absolution. I like that. I might even steal it. I really enjoyed that. But anyway, so the Iconics came out. Wonderful to see them back again, to hear that music. And they did one of their trademark brilliant impressions. And they made fun of Becky Lynch and her Irish accent.
Almost as good as my Irish accent.
Almost.
I like how Peyton points out at the end, I'm Irish! After doing her, oi! Irish
and
voice.
Doing like a little jig and yes. Everything like that. And I like that Billy Kay also made sure to mention that this place smelled. Mm. Like that was almost the first thing she said when she came out, was like, by the way, your town smells. And it was great. And then, so they did these impressions, then did impressions of Charlotte, then did impressions of Lana and Naomi dancing, including, because Billy Kay did the impression this time, including doing her version of Naomi's entrance theme.
Did you, so when they were going to do an impression of Naomi, did you kind of, tense a bit, like, where are they going?
Oh, Ryan Ward, what have you done?
But it was okay.
It was very funny. And then Absolution came down, and it was at this point, you're like, oh, well, there's four of them on a ramp and four of them in the ring. I think where this is going. And it did, and it came into this sort of big brawl. And then, I mean, maybe it was just me that found this really odd. The brawl didn't end.
Mm-hmm.
The camera just stopped filming the brawl and went to the commentators, who weren't paying attention to it.
They were kind of dismissively laughing.
Yeah, they were like,
girls will be girls.
Oh, they're having a brawl. Anyway, later on tonight, we've got these matches, and I'm like, they're having a fight up there.
Yeah.
Like, why did we... Like, it was so weird. It was such an odd transition.
Really undermined it, cutting to the commentators like that. And it also... If this was a couple of months ago, Bobby Roode would then make his entrance.
Yeah.
It was that kind of... It was just a weird way to flow from one segment into the other.
I was going to say, my other option for a title for today's video, or talking point for our opening segment, was going to be, should WWE take their women's division more seriously?
Mm.
Because this and the end of the women's match really did, like, it left a bit of a bad taste in my mouth.
Yeah, there's an argument for that. But I fully expect... Ronda Rousey, Nia Jax to be the main event this Sunday.
Oh, really?
Oh, yeah.
Oh, wow.
I think that's what's going to get the spot.
Man.
Yeah, especially if Natalya's cashing in.
Yeah, that's a bold statement.
I just don't see why you wouldn't. Ronda Rousey.
Well, Ronda did WrestleMania.
But that's WrestleMania, and you had a Roman Reigns to get over.
Well, you got a Roman Reigns to get over here. He's facing Jinder Mahal.
Now, I would be surprised, and I would actually think it's a bad decision to not make that the main event. That's going to get you the most mainstream publicity.
I mean, you're not wrong. Mm. I hadn't considered it, but actually, that's probably, you know, a pretty good shout.
There's one more bit to talk about on this segment before we move on.
Yeah,
and that is Lana's character, because like Big Cass has moved, like needs a new character. Lana's made her own one. Up, she doesn't seem to be Russian anymore.
No, she goes from like week to week. She changes it. Like when she came back to SmackDown, when she teamed up again with Rusev Day, she dropped her accent. Then the following week, had the accent again. And it's almost like, you remember in Captain America: Civil War when the Russo brothers, yes, sat down and spoke to Elizabeth Olsen, was like, yeah, you know that accent you did in Age of Ultron? Like, don't do that. But you can't just drop it completely. So do sort of an accent. And then when it came to Infinity War, they were like, just don't bother with it.
She's been living in America for years.
Yeah, for at least 2 years.
Yeah, her accent's adjusted. seems like she's been going off to Scotland a lot, so maybe that's had an influence.
So yeah, so just like just drop the accent a little bit. We then got the Twitter promo from Daniel Bryan that was not shown on TV last week, but really should have been. So it was shown on TV this week.
I think it was filmed after.
Yes.
That's why.
It was great. And then we got Daniel Bryan versus Shelton Benjamin, a first-time matchup on SmackDown Live. It was a pretty decent little TV match, actually. I really enjoyed it.
Well, SmackDown's roster is so stacked that... that it's almost impossible not to have these weird dream matches, especially with the kind of guys they've brought back from the past, Jeff and Shelton, and Randy is, you know, if he wasn't out injured.
Is he injured?
Yeah, he's injured, yeah. He went off for surgery. He's out until SummerSlam.
Oh, man.
You were in a cupboard, so that's probably why you don't know. And then you've got Brian returning, so he's missed out on a load of matches. Loads of fresh matchups.
Yeah.
And loads of really good combinations. And all of them, you're like, yeah, I wouldn't mind a pay-per-view program out of any of these.
Well, I said in the SmackDown review, I'd love to see a pay-per-view match between Bryan and Shelton Benjamin, where you're given a little bit more time. Because like, as good as this was, it was a TV match. But I thought they did really well with the minutes. They maximised their minutes. Some good reversals in there, and Bryan won with the heel hook.
Yes, so it was a really nice finishing sequence where he had the yes lock in, Bryan did, and then Benjamin turned that into a single leg crab. And that's when Bryan rolled that through to get the heel hook. So they're really pushing the heel hook as Bryan's new finisher. Because Benjamin tapped almost immediately.
Mm.
And I just, watching Bryan, every time I watch a Daniel Bryan match, I just write in my notes, he's so good.
Yep.
He's so good. I missed him so much. And the other bit of the story was Benjamin was working over Bryan's knee.
Mm.
So I don't know if that will play into Money in the Bank.
One would hope so.
With the big cast. Hey, speaking of Money in the Bank,
I believe it's free.
It's free for new subscribers. Todd Phillips said this twice in a 20-second span.
Well, you got to get over the gimmick, brother.
Yeah, but...
you got to remember as well, people tend to tune out WWE commentators. So if you say... you got to say things multiple times just in case you manage to, like... it just kind of seeps through into your out-tuning.
They should, like, have words appear on the screen as they say it.
Oh, man, do you remember when they used to do that?
That's another way of doing. Yeah.
They haven't done that for a while.
Mm. Good riddance.
Do you remember the Usos with their prison graphics when they were doing their
promo? Oh, my Lord. Lockdown. Chung. I'd never want to see that again.
No, it was awful.
Unless it's a parody video, in which case that'll be an obscure reference in a year's time. Then we got Paige West Wing in it.
Yep, she was backstage and she was walking along. Asuka was there, and Asuka said that she wanted to face Carmella tonight rather than at Money in the Bank. And Paige was like, baby girl, I'd love to be able to do that, but baby girl, it's at Money in the Bank. So, and then she was like, well, how about I add you into the 10 women tag match tonight, baby girl? And then that's what they did. So Asuka was like, it's good news for me, bad news for Carmella. And walked up and Paige was like, yeah, that's quite nice. And then she walked over, and then she, as you said, West Winged it. She found Miz in a referee's gear, practicing being a referee. And she's like, what are you doing? And Miz announced that he was auditioning for a new movie. And he had to think of a title quickly on the spot. And he went, rough ref. And it's a film about a dog who is going to be a referee in the main event of WrestleMania. And Miz is going to play the trainer. And I suddenly thought, I'd watch that film. Yeah. I would totally 100% watch that film. I would watch that more than the Marine 7.
Miz just needs to make this movie by himself.
Yeah.
I'm sure he's got enough clout with WWE Studios. A little half-hour short movie thing to go on the network.
We can put a poster for it in Kurt Angle's office.
Yes, it's free.
Yeah.
Oh, I really hope they do that. But Paige doesn't have an office. She walks around a lot. She's got a Fitbit. She needs to get the steps up. But... anywhere else backstage that they could put a poster of Rough Rough Ref.
Rough Rough Ref. It's so good. And especially because then Corey Graves throughout the night kept talking about, like, oh, I can't wait to see Rough Rough Ref.
Like, it's a real movie.
It's a real film.
So this, I was a bit confused about this. So Miz talked about this, and it was quite transparent what he was doing. He just wanted to be made the special guest referee for Samoa Joe versus Rusev that was coming up later in the night.
He's trying to stir the pot.
Mm. And Paige effectively says no.
Because she saw through his ruse.
But then she says yes.
Yeah,
then Miz goes, well, that's what I was trying to do.
Yeah, it's I did think it was like, oh, that'll learn him. He got what he wanted.
Yeah.
She did the same thing last week, though, where she was like, hey, no, like someone suggested a match, and she was like, nobody speaks to me, I make the matches. And then just made the exact same match. And I'm like, oh, okay. Well, like you're not doing anything. You're just agreeing with people, I guess.
And it's a neck injury, not concussions that she's had to retire from.
Yeah, I didn't really understand that.
But the big takeaway from this is how good my West Winging pun was.
Mm-hmm.
I think we've overlooked that because it's got many meanings. The West Wing shot of people walking through corridors and talking, and she's winging it. She's booking on the fly. But that's fine. That's fine. But the other thing is that Ruff Ruff Ref is now a canon. We are going to push that to be made.
Absolutely. What are your thoughts on the West Wing?
I've never seen it.
Oh, no. That's a good show.
I really, really want to. It's one of those. I love Aaron Sorkin and all his scripts, all those words that he writes down.
Yes, he is very good at doing his words.
Yeah, really good at words.
Fun fact for you: the cast were obviously asked to go to the White House, but Martin Sheen, isn't it? He's not allowed to go. He wasn't allowed to go to the White House because he had been arrested for protesting against sort of political powers back in his rebellious youth, and he's not allowed to go to the White House.
Rock and roll.
And he just... Anyway, we're in Memphis, so guess what? Jerry Lawler's here. And so Jerry Lawler came out and he interviewed AJ about Money in the Bank, about the Last Man Standing match, and particularly about him slapping Shinsuke Nakamura last week. And AJ said that he is sorry for slapping him. Sorry he didn't do it harder, that sort of thing. And then said that he'll be the Last Man Standing. I didn't think this was the most effective way. Your effective final push for this match.
Yeah. They had a video package before it, which was very good.
Mm-hmm.
But yeah, like you said, this is the go-home show. This is one of the featured matches on the card. I mean, is this what you assumed would main event?
I hadn't actually given
pay-per-view?
Much thought. I think I just assumed Roman and Jinder would, but...
well, in Chicago!
Well, Roman and Joe did.
Yeah, but that was... that was Backlash, yeah.
Yeah.
No, I can't see that happening. I cannot see that happening.
They'd be idiotic to do it in Chicago. You're absolutely right.
But it's I really commend them for using Lawler because I love it when they bring out local heroes for
yes.
stuff. It's a really seamless way to get over the history of WWE, and it's just a nice treat for people who like the attention to detail in things
yes.
like us. But yeah, Lawler was just generic interviewer number three. He had no personality because he wasn't allowed to. And he just asked two questions and held the mic there. Why couldn't he do like a King's... Why? You know what? He should have done the Women's Summit. That would have been a great rib. Him just looking there, oogling, talking to chests rather than faces.
Talking about kitchens and yeah. getting barefoot and pregnant and all that.
Obviously, it's going to be a smaller ladder. But are you still worried about climbing it?
But yeah, it was... you're right, actually. Him holding like a sit-down interview with AJ and Nakamura that could have led to a brawl between the two. They got physical. Maybe AJ, again, loses his head, loses his cool, because, as you told me last week, that's the storyline you've been telling. But that storyline wasn't here this week. AJ was just like, no, I'm going to win.
Yeah.
And that was it. And then in the Nakamura segment, we didn't see AJ there. But if you'd have had another segment where Nakamura wound him up and AJ attacked him, he lost his cool once again... But again, I still don't think it works for a Last Man Standing. But that's by the way. We had that conversation last week. But like that would have at least felt like something more. Like it felt like this week, apart from that video package, they didn't really do much to build towards the match.
Yeah, and Lawler still wrestles week in, week out in Memphis. I know WWE wouldn't really let him take a bump because of the heart attack issue from, it must have been like 3-4 years ago now.
Quite a while ago, yeah.
But like, you know, if it was a Piper's Pit style thing... And he took a bump off a stray AJ hook.
Yeah.
And it's like, oh, AJ's too emotional. He's like hit this legend.
He just hit the king.
And Nakamura doesn't even have to do anything. He's just sitting there laughing.
Yeah, totally. And then, guess what? The king could have actually built that up. And then on the pre-show, on the panel show, use that as part of his character. Be like, hey, man, I've seen what AJ's like in the ring when he loses his cool. And, I don't know, build a storyline out of it.
Yeah, well... Do it better, WWE.
Yes, and we also got the announcement that the Good Brothers versus the Bludgeon Brothers will be on the pre-show. Mm. I mean, one of them had to go on the pre-show, and I was unsurprised it was this one.
Which is kind of good in a way, because they'll probably get more time.
If you pre-show matches, they still only get like 7 minutes, because you've got to do all of the...
10-15.
Then you get 10-15 minutes. Mm. I always said that might go like 7 minutes
or so. A commercial break in the middle.
Yeah,
so,
suppose,
but
overall.
But yeah, I think that pretty much telegraphs there is no title change happening there. Predictions, by the way, will be going up on, either Thursday or Friday. And My jacket is on the line.
Yes, and if I lose, there will be another punishment. We don't know what that is just yet.
No, I still have to do the... It's a joint punishment. We have to wait for General Manager Grado to reveal it to us.
Oh, right. Yeah. And your jacket is... In addition to, I see.
Because the jacket is for me getting out of so many punishments in the past.
And the jacket that is so important to you, you only wear it on for certain videos.
It gets
now.
Hot. It's not the most breathable fabric.
Well, we don't have any air conditioning in this room. Anyway, I was going to say something else about them, but we'll move on. That was it, actually. Yeah, because a lot of people were predicting, like, when we were talking about, like, Where Our Sanity, a lot of people were going, like, you idiots, they're clearly debuting at Money in the Bank. Now that they're on the pre-show, I would have assumed that they're not. I mean, stranger things have happened. Yeah. But, you know, we'll find out. Then we got Samoa Joe versus Rusev in another first-time matchup with The Miz as the special guest referee. And again, this was pretty good, solid action. I thought the finish was particularly great.
Mm. Yeah, so great Aiden English intro, as usual.
So good.
And Joe just looked scarier. And yes. I think it's because of his hair.
I was going to say, he's got a new haircut now. He saw that Baron Corbin got a haircut and was like, mate, I'm going to get a haircut too. And I'm going to look terrifying once I've had it done. And he does look just like super scary at the moment. And they're going with this new kind of gimmick character for him. They're calling him the Samoan Assassin, I think is what they're putting him over on commentary as. Mm. And I was thinking, like, I was writing on my script for this Saturday's video. And I just thought, like, the Samoan Assassin with the Money in the Bank briefcase. Like, that's... I really like the idea of that.
He's my pick.
He's your
really,
pick, yeah.
Oh, I really want him to win. I mean, when we sit down and do the predictions, I'm actually going to treat it... Like, I'm going with my head. I'm not going with my heart for any of these. Because I want to keep the jacket.
Yeah.
It's my thing. I'm going to feel quite... You know, I've got hairy arms. They'll be exposed on the news. I really want Joe to win it. I think he will benefit most. And it would just be a really good storytelling device to use through the rest of the year.
Completely agree. He's got a terrifying new haircut. Although this was a heel versus heel with heel referee, I thought they actually worked quite well into getting people into the match and kind of making you root for certain people. I mean, the crowd are always going to root for Rusev Day. But I thought they worked this really well. And I said, I really liked the finish, which was the Miz got bumped in the corner by Joe. Then he wouldn't count Joe's pinfall. And then when Miz was pointing at him, Joe, like the badass that he is, just grabbed his finger and he was like, how?
It was joint manipulation.
So awesome. And then Rusev out of nowhere hit the match kick and got the pin. Didn't hurt Joe in any way. Doesn't hurt Rusev. Rusev gets the rubber beating him. Doesn't hurt the Miz either, because Miz then laid out Rusev with the skull-crushing finale, climbed the ladder and grabbed the briefcase.
The briefcase.
He grabbed the
sports.
He grabbed the beefcase.
A beefcase.
And anyway, he took the beefcase down to the commentators.
It's now canon. And rough, like, rough ref and beefcase.
Beefcase has to be like his surname in the movie. It's like John Beefcase.
Rough Beefcase.
Anyway, he takes the beefcase down to the commentator's desk. He's like, look at me, I'm going to cash in the contract. Open it up and see the contract, which is very contrived. It would have just been so much better if he'd have opened it. But anyway, Byron Saxton opened it and revealed that it's actually pancakes in there. And then Miz, doing an amazing sell job, got on his knees and just went, New Day! It was really funny.
It was levels, I mean, can I spoil Seven? The movie that's been out for 2 decades.
Well, I don't know. I got in trouble for spoiling Stranger Things. And even then, I didn't even spoil Stranger Things. I said a moment that happened. And I got a tweet from someone saying, like, can you stop spoiling things on the show?
I was thinking this about Infinity War. I don't have much patience for people who say, don't spoil it for me. I haven't seen it yet. It's been out 4 weeks now.
Still in the cinema. It's past $2 billion.
I feel like that's not my fault that you haven't seen it now. And I want to talk about it to everyone.
Yeah,
so it's up to you to leave the room when I start talking. I don't have to say, has everyone seen it?
Mm. Yeah. I don't know. I'm a like at least 6 month kind of guy.
Mm-hmm. For some films, sure. Not for the film that everyone's seen on the planet.
Yeah. Well, like, for example, like, I haven't seen Breaking Bad. I know what happens at the end, though, because I was watching The Daily Show and your man, Trevor Noah, like, revealed the ending of it and then went, like, sorry if I've spoiled that for anyone, but you have missed out on one of the best TV shows ever made. And I thought to myself, I was like, well, that's my own fault, because I kept saying I was going to watch it and I never got round to it. So I've got no one to blame but myself.
Sopranos' ending was ruined for me by a Family Guy joke. But knowing that that was coming kind of mitigated the disappointment. So it actually worked in its favour.
So it's like, you know, can you really spoil the ending of The Sixth Sense? Because I think that's now just part of sort of like pop culture lexicon.
Darth Vader is Luke's father.
That sort of thing. Yeah totally.
Anyway, I was going to say Seven. Brad Pitt finds his wife's head in a box at the end. And it was like Miz, that I felt like it was similar to when Miz was like, no!
Which is funny because my first thought was Khan. That's where my mind instantly went to. Was.
But then it cuts backstage to the New Day, who... Usually I would find this annoying. Like, when people over-laugh to this degree, I'm like, okay, it's not really for me. It's a bit juvenile. But this was so funny. The way they were overselling the laughter.
And the fact that Xavier Woods and Kofi Kingston were wearing the same T-shirt. Not identical T-shirts. The same T-shirt. They just had both their heads coming out the one hole. It was such an odd visual. Because the New Day aren't there. They're not there at the moment. They're at E3. Taking on the Elite on Street Fighter V. I think that's today, actually.
Oh, Thursday.
Is it Thursday?
Thursday. I read on Reddit, can't remember who posted it, but they posturized that maybe Xavier and Kofi will be entering Money in the Bank as one person.
Do you know what? Well, I had this idea, and I don't want to give spoilers away for the Saturday video, if anyone actually watches them. But I had this idea of, like, whoever gets entered into the Money in the Bank ladder match and wins as a member of the New Day, that member hasn't won the briefcase. The New Day have won the briefcase.
Ah.
And then so, like, any one of them could cash it in at any one time.
That is very selfless.
And then if one of them did, you know, win the WWE champion, they actually treat it the same way they treat the tag belts. It's free bird rules. The New Day are the WWE champion.
That's really cool. The traditionalist in me doesn't like it for a top title. But maybe they can cash in on the US title, if that's still around. I don't know.
Well,
haven't seen it for a bit.
We're going to come up to him in a second, I suppose. In fact, we're getting to him now, because it is Jeff Hardy versus Shinsuke Nakamura, another first-time matchup on SmackDown Live. And this was also pretty good, but it was all really built around the finish, which was Nakamura giving Jeff Hardy the low blow, and then gave him the Kinshasa, and counted to 10 to show that he has got the move that can lay someone out for 10 seconds so he can win the last man standing match. I thought this was pretty good, but it would be better if they could do it on pay-per-view with an actual finish.
This was a weird match, and I did like it, but I just think on a go-home show, this wasn't the effective use of this match. No. Jeff Hardy doesn't have a match at Money in the Bank?
No, because he's been injured for a while, so I think they were just waiting to see when he comes back.
So why are they protecting Jeff more than Nakamura, who's fighting for the title? I think you can beat Jeff Hardy on TV and everyone not go, wow, Jeff Hardy's being buried. He's lost so much momentum. Nakamura should have won, like, really brutalized Jeff, maybe with a low blow behind the referee's back, but then put him down for a 10 count and won that way.
Or didn't even do a match. It's just like, just do it as a beat down angle. And that actually then still saves you that first time ever of Jeff Hardy versus Shinsuke Nakamura.
Mm. I thought this was a really ineffective go home spot for Nakamura.
Yeah. It was better than the AJ promo, though.
Mm. But it's weird how they all these dream matches that have coalesced on SmackDown don't just feel fresh matchups. When you see guys like Jeff Hardy pop back up, you're like, oh my God, I haven't seen you in a while. I haven't seen you in a couple of weeks wrestle.
Yeah.
And I thought AJ hasn't wrestled for about a month on TV.
Right. Wow. I mean, the bar haven't been around for a couple of weeks now either.
Yeah. And there's an argument that that's not so much a good thing. Like, I would actually like to see Cesaro and Sheamus more featured. But in terms of keeping guys on TV but not making them wrestle every week, it's very, very good.
I think SmackDown are very good at doing that, actually. Mm. I think it's one of their real strong suits, is not overexposing people. Carmella was backstage and Renee tried to interview her, but Carmella was busy doing it for the grams. And all was steady.
Oh, I just hit the mic with my cup of tea. Put that down now.
So she was doing it for the grams, and then kind of promo how she was going to beat Asuka at Money in the Bank.
What was the last thing you did for the grams?
That would be the Aperol Spritz event. Although I'm not on the grams. My wife is on the grams, though. But I don't know if she did anything for the grams on that from that event, though.
Did your lady prime grammage?
Did your lady partner do anything for the grams?
Oh yeah, totally. Yeah? She grams everything. She crams the tube journeys.
Oh yeah?
No, not that bad. But she did a thing of her going down the slide.
Mm-hmm.
What's happening to our clip?
Well, I'm going to put it in tomorrow's news.
Okay.
Only because I was going to put it on today's, then I realised I'm not doing the news today. So, and it's on my phone, so I'll do it tomorrow.
Me and Luke went down the slide together.
We certainly did.
We lamed up that entire... It was such a cool, hip event that we went to on Saturday.
Yeah.
For April Spritz in Old Street.
What's up with Beefcase?
And everyone else was like being all cool and trendy and taking pictures on their phone and acting all schmoozy.
Wearing braces. Mm. And we were just not cool enough to be there. Like, I've watched all episodes of Queer Eye recently, so I'm like, man, I'm gonna try and do much better. So I actually layered when I, you know, my outfit that I wore. But even then, I suddenly thought, I'm just not cool enough to be at this place.
You had a week of trend behind you. They've got a lifetime of trendiness. Everyone else in that event,
maybe.
But yeah, we decided to just ride the slide and stink up the joint.
We did. We just made the place effortlessly uncool.
Yes.
Anyway, so this, we then got the big cast promo where he talked about he was being tall, and then we got a main event of Becky Lynch, Charlotte Flair, Lana, Naomi, and Asuka versus Mandy Rose, Sonya Deville, The Iconics, and Carmella in a 10-woman tag.
Absolution.
Oh, absolution, sorry. It's because I'm reading out my notes. I haven't got that in my notes yet. My first note here is Sonya is really great.
Yes, really good.
She's so good.
Yeah.
Yeah, I really like her and I really like the Iconics. Actually, I think the SmackDown's got a really great women's division at the moment. And actually, that's really on display here when you've got the, you know, your top 10 women. In fact, I say your top 10, all 10 of them in one match. I thought it was really cool and it was cool to see.
Well, 10 wrestlers for one division is a healthy amount.
Yeah.
And that's quite a deep pool of talent they've got there as well. Looking at the two sides of this ring, it really became apparent to me two things. How many baby faces are in the Money in the Bank women's match?
Alexa is the only heel.
Yeah, that's crazy. And the other thing is how all the... Lana excluded. Don't really know what she is. Sometimes she's a heel. Sometimes she's Russian. We don't know. But the baby faces are all very good wrestlers. Like some of the best female wrestlers WWE has. Becky Lynch, Charlotte, Naomi.
Asuka,
who is, you know, one of the best wrestlers, period, in the company. And then you look at the heel side here on the opposite side of the ring. And Mandy Rose, not good. Carmella, I'm not a fan of her in-ring work. The Iconic duo, great on promos, but I haven't been impressed by their in-ring stuff.
I like their in-ring stuff as well. Like, I thought they were, you know, when they got some actual time to shine in NXT, I thought they were better.
Well, their stuff on the main roster so far has been, like, quite significantly lacking, in my opinion. So that's like, all the heels aren't very good. And I wrote that down. I was like, apart from Deville, I really like Sonya Deville.
I really like Sonya Deville. And I actually thought this could have been a really fun 10-woman tag team match, but it was hampered by having a commercial break, which they had to stop the action for, and then one of the side screen promos for Money in the Bank. So they had to stop the action again. So actually, the match didn't really get going until the final four or five moves, which is when you just start doing big spots. And it's one of those things, again, where I kind of look back at the running order and I'm like, totally could have just got rid of that cast promo. And it's not like, if without that cast promo, you wouldn't be looking forward to his Money in the Bank match with Daniel Bryan. So you could have just left that off, given them more time, not put the side screen promo in there, and just let them actually have a match. No, it would have been much better.
I will defend the side screen promo. You've got the pay-per-view this Sunday. I'm not that annoyed by it. But yeah, you could drop a needless segment and give them more time overall, so you don't have to come back from commercial break and within 30 seconds do that split screen side promo for Money in the Bank as well. That was really took the pacing out of it. And that wasn't just here. I think they did it in the two other matches the night, which was really frustrating.
Yeah.
Because those were, you know, those were dream. And this is a big fun match. The other two matches were kind of dream matches. Or the other four matches.
Yeah.
Jeff Hardy versus Nakamura. Shelton Benjamin versus Bryan. Samoa Joe versus Rusev.
Yep.
None of them really, and it's TV. This shouldn't be their big pay-per-view blow-off. But there should, I think, at least be one really fun, good wrestling match.
I agree. Absolutely agree. And the end of this saw Charlotte doing the moonsault to the outside, where she essentially just lands on her own two feet. And then the Iconics took out... Oh, no, the Abstitution took out Becky Lynch. Then Naomi came off and did a big old dive there. Carmella got a good near fall on Asuka. It looked like she actually was going to get pinned. I thought they might have a pinner, to be honest. And then Lana broke that up. Asuka got in the Asuka lock and tapped out the women's champion. And then... And then, I mean, just in case you were worried that they might get physical and show which one of them is superior heading into Money in the Bank, they all just started hugging each other and were the best of friends.
Well, for a moment, they all hugged each other and then they all awkwardly took a step back before, so Asuka was in the middle.
But before that, Naomi and Lana hugged. Naomi and Lana hugged as if like none of the last few weeks have ever happened. And it's just so frustrating. As I said in the SmackDown review, it just tells me, the audience, don't care about any of this. It doesn't actually matter.
Yeah, and it's just... You would never do this for a male feud.
No, I just hit the microphone with my cup.
Out of fury. And it really does undermine... And it... I'm not saying it's out-and-out sexist or misogynist, but it is underlying. Like, it comes from a mindset far back in her head that, oh yeah, these are women, so they're all going to hug at the end.
Yeah.
And sure, male baby faces do it sometimes. I feel like luchadors always do it when they're being booked in WWE and
they're
teaming together.
But if they're friends...
Yeah, yeah, you're right. And these are...
These are all facing each other this weekend. Like, they're in a match against each other. They're meant to be like... It's every woman for themselves they keep putting over on commentary.
Yeah.
So, like, why are they all just, like, hugging each other here?
I totally agree.
I was waiting for something to happen. But it isn't. As you said, they then awkwardly hit their marks and got into position. And Asuka was stood in the middle. And then Charlotte looked up the briefcase and the camera panned up. And then the camera cut to Becky Lynch. And then she looked up and the camera panned up with her, just to make sure we all know this is all staged and choreographed. And Asuka was in the middle going like, yes. Money in the Bank.
It's... I get it. That's a visual. And just like if you're watching this out the corner of your eye or it's in the background, you're like, oh, okay, I kind of understand what's happening this weekend based on, you know, show, don't tell.
They told me through visuals.
Yeah. And that's what they say. Storytelling's all about showing, not explicitly telling.
Exactly.
But they do it here in such an asinine, unrealistic way that you can't help but just lose all interest in it being a real thing.
Yes, that's it. It makes it feel not real. It just makes it feel really fake and phony.
It makes it feel lame.
Yeah, lame is a brilliant word to describe it. And I thought this was lame. And as I said, like, it just made me... It just tells you, like, oh, don't care about any of this because it doesn't actually matter.
Yeah, it's all a show.
It's all a show. Next week, like, nothing will have changed, really. It's just one of them might have a briefcase.
And we're not saying, like, wrestling should be super realistic all the time, like the Jim Cornette school of stuff. But we are saying that when we're watching a movie, we don't want all the people who are fighting to stop and then hug and then go, ooh, but don't worry.
Yeah.
It takes you out of it a lot.
Like the final, to go back to Infinity War, the final fight in Infinity War feels like it's a big deal because at no point does Adria go like, none of this actually matters. So
and the jokes are paired back a lot.
Exactly,
because of that.
There are moments of levity within there, but the main thing is like everything that is happening here does matter. And that's not what I got from the end of this segment where everyone's hugging, including Naomi and Lana. And like, you're meant to hate each other, aren't you? Isn't that your whole deal at the moment? Why are you hugging?
Sorry, I was just thinking about Infinity War.
Oh, what a film, though, isn't it?
It's just the bit in the... It's a perfect way to do comedy without explicitly doing comedy in that end fight sequence. And it's when arrives for the first time in the fight, and they go, I am someone.
and the other person goes, I am someone else.
I am Steve Rogers. And it's just like... The beautiful character moments.
Yeah, it's great.
That's for me, that's the best joke in the movie.
Yeah, it probably is.
I really, really laugh at that one because it's so pure about Steve. Like, that's what he's all about.
He is
he's
wonderful.
So polite. Even amidst all this stuff. An otherworldly emissary. I am Steve Rogers. Anyway, so you gave it what?
A smack bang in the middle.
Yeah, it's a smack bang in the middle.
Yeah.
I would go for the same.
You got a little bit annoyed last week, I would certainly say, actually on yesterday's episode, that no one gave you any praise for your poem.
Here we go.
Apart from my wife, which said she thought it was brilliant. And, I don't want to put words in her mouth. It was the best poem she'd ever heard.
I mean, that's what I thought.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, I can't think of a better poem.
Neither
really.
Can I. Up
really.
Yours, Philip Larkin.
Yeah, him. And other people that have written poems. Sebastian Faulks? Did he ever write poetry?
Yeah, probably.
Yeah. I mean,
most novelists have.
Yeah, I would have thought so.
Dabbled.
I mean, I know that he wrote a book because I was meant to do it for my A-levels at university. A-levels at school. And I said, no thanks, because I thought it was a boring book.
Got a perfectly good Shaun of the Dead DVD right here.
Well, I mean, I read Trainspotting instead. The book, obviously, not the film, not the novelization of the film. I read the actual book.
Did they even do that?
Probably.
No.
They've done it before for films.
Have they?
Yeah, totally.
What? A book that's been adapted into a movie. They've made a book off the movie that was a book.
Yeah, because obviously sometimes you make changes, so they do like a novelization of that. See, I that's totally happened in the past.
And I guess like The Force Awakens had a novelization, and that was an adaptation of A New Hope.
Oh, look at Ollie throwing shade at J.J. Abrams.
Shade for you! Shade for you!
We know he listens. He's going to be really upset when he hears that.
Big fan.
Anyway, so the nerd Zen has written to me with an email line that says, a poem for Ollie Davis.
Aww.
So, yeah. I mean, thank you for sending it to me at the very least. I got to read it. I loved your poem. I thought it was dark and inspired. I am an avid poem reader. I, as an avid poem reader, believe you have talent. You even inspired me to write a poem myself.
Oh, great.
It's called The Tragedy of the Naked Masked Man.
Wow.
Yes. Now, this is actually quite good. Like, I thought he might be trying to take the... like, because that title to me suggests like it's going to be funny.
The Tragedy of the Naked Masked Man sounds to me like Vacant with a Lucha Mask On.
Or it sounds like a Flight of the Conchords song.
Yes.
Yes. So here we go. A heart that hearkens darkness, drawn to the dominion of the night, whose face is a veiled and skin is paled, concealed by the dying light. His machinations for reading, for his soul is filled with spite. Have you been fooled, your senses cooled, the serpent coils before the bite? Tomorrow is promised to no one, for you may only have tonight. Live the mask and reconcile at last the face of true fright. Well, I hope this was a poem as revealing as yours was to me. Please keep writing, I'll be the fifth person to buy your book, Paul Zenz.
Oh, that was cool.
Yeah.
I mean, like, it's hard to sort of analyze stuff when it's not there in front of you. So you've got the text as you were reading. I was just trying to listen.
Mm.
And it's overwhelming. But, like, I heard Dominion. I heard Mask. I don't know, Mike. Is there a wrestling... Are we missing, like, is this about El Desperado? Or Naito?
I don't know, and I'll be honest, I mean, I've just archived the email, so I need to find it again.
And
the heart of Harkin's darkness. I feel like there's something, it should be, it's a clue in there.
Where's Stranger Things?
That's Hawkins.
Hawkins. I mean, it's probably just, it's not related to any pop culture.
Maybe Harkins is a popular poet, but is overshadowed because he sounds a bit like Larkin, and everyone always points to him. I only actually know the name Philip Larkin.
Mm-hmm.
I only know that name through Ellis and John's podcast, their radio show podcast, their Radio X podcast.
They F you up, your mum and dad.
Well, I mean, I just, poems were never that attractive to me. While I was at school, never really... I struggled to analyse poems. Like, I liked yours because it sounded nice. But you can't really write that in an A-level essay. Like, it's not cricket.
That's the problem with poetry, is that most people are introduced to it purely from a dissect this, write an essay on it thing. So it does sap a lot of the enjoyment out of it. Like, we didn't get into wrestling by approaching it with this super critique mind right off the bat.
No, we got into it because The Rock was funny.
Yeah, exactly. And then that comes later. Yeah, I mean, but people who say they don't like poetry is akin to saying, oh, I just don't like movies. And unless you're Michael Owen,
he might not like poetry either.
You just
either.
Haven't found the right poet. I love war poetry. Did you ever do that as a...
I think we might have done. I can't tell you a single thing that we I can't tell you a poem we read, but I do, because we did a lot of like World War One stuff.
That's the good stuff.
And like for our A-level English literature,
that's
I should have done English language. Mm. I'm such an idiot. I just didn't know the difference that I just did English lit. Thinking that was what I think that would get me to do loads of creative writing.
Yeah,
should have done English language. That's where you get to do the creative writing. I'm such an idiot, and I was in a class with a kid that bullied me because he was an idiot.
All the bads.
Or it was bad.
And Handmaid's Tale.
Yeah, which I but, you know, I got around that by not reading it. And, you know, so that was fine. And I still passed the exam. So, and that, you know, really, I think that says a lot about The Handmaid's Tale more than it does me, in that you can just write an entire A-level quality essay and get a passing grade of a C.
It's pretty high.
It was pretty high with only reading the first chapter.
Yeah. And it also says a lot about the school system and how it's made it a bit redundant. So, what's the name of the fellow who wrote that in, or the lady?
Paul person? Zenz.
Paul Zenz.
And a great surname as well.
Well, that's awesome. I kind of want more people to send in poetry. And as great as that was, this is a wrestling podcast. If you can do super good, vague, obscure poetry, and we try and figure out what wrestler or what storyline it's about.
Oh, so it's like when you badly describe the plot of a film and you have to try and work out like the film they're talking about.
But it'll be over eloquently describing. Like, imagine all the source of material you can work with.
Mm.
Like the hate between Steen and Generico.
Yeah, you talk about like feuds at certain angles and things like that.
Or like Kane and how he must have felt in his early years. I mean, we've got Journey into Darkness, the novelization of Kane's early years, so not needed that one.
Yes.
But yeah. I mean,
I'm all for that. I am all for that, mate. I am all in on that idea.
More in. Have you got any more correspondence? Because I'll do some reviews.
I think that's all business emails. I think that's all I've got. That's all I've got for today. And then I've got an email from you about Money in the Bank predictions.
So just one for me. Just one bit of correspondence.
Just one bit of correspondence. Even though, and we know a lot of people listen to this podcast, even though a large number of people listened to that episode, no one felt the need to... Did you get any tweets?
I think I got one tweet and I hearted it. But I'm concerned it was from the same person. I'm not fishing, but it's nice to get a bite on
that. But hey, man, like that guy said that he'd buy your book as well. So that's now multiple copies sold.
Mm.
And I'll be honest, as someone who has had a book published and had their first check come through, you're about halfway there.
Well, iTunes reviews. I've got my penultimate creative writing course thing tonight, so
I'm very excited.
You know how it goes.
Well, you can hear about that on the
Saturday show. We'll pop it on.
Well, I know, but we've got to do, like, we're going to do bonus episodes in between then, because we've got to do Money in the Bank predictions and NXT predictions, which will probably have their own intros and outros.
Oh, jeez. It's Podcastomania. Kings of Consistency writes Pickled Dill. I have been a fan of the YouTube channel for some time now. I just recently, in the last couple of months, became a pod swafter.
Nice.
And I love it. Watching a YouTube video while driving is harder than the ring apron.
Oh, lovely. That's excellent.
And more dangerous than Ken Shamrock. So thank you guys for making my drive consistently entertaining and safe.
Lovely.
Hashtag Swaff Nation.
Nice. That is a great iTunes review.
Thank you, Pickled Dill. And from Arorka 6, this is possibly even better.
Oh yeah?
Just fine. This wrestling podcast is just fine.
Yes.
What would make it better if Oliver Davis also says he loves us too? Thanks, Luke. So you say that at the end of all the episodes.
Because I love every single person that listens to this podcast. Even the people that hate me, of which there are numerous.
We do read out everyone's five star. That's the important part. iTunes reviews. So please do head over to iTunes and leave us a review.
We didn't give him a round of applause.
Thank you, Arorka 6.
Thank you very much.
And you get a cheap pop like we just did there. And of course, the more people who write reviews or positive ones, the higher up this podcast goes in the search rankings for iTunes for wrestling. So you'll help us out.
And you've got to tell your friends to subscribe as well, because a big surge of subscriber numbers will also help push us up the iTunes charts and help us take over the likes of Pritchard and Jericho and Austin and some other wrestling-related podcasts, of which I'm not going to give a cheap plug to on this show.
Yeah, so spread the swaft word.
Yes.
And off the back of Arorka's review, I love you.
Oh, lovely. And we will see you tomorrow for Money in the... No, for NXT predictions. And then we'll see you on Friday for Money in the Bank predictions. And then we're going to see you on Saturday. Crikey, listen to this. On Saturday for the magazine show. Then on Sunday for the NXT review show. And then on Monday for Money in the Bank. Tuesday Raw. Wednesday SmackDown. You are going to get a whole 7 days of podcasts from us. You'll be sick of hearing from us. But until then, I love you. Goodbye.
Hey, it's Danny Pellegrino from Everything Iconic. Ready to upgrade your style game without blowing your budget? Check out Quince. They've got all the good stuff, shirts and polos, activewear and fine leather goods, all at 50 to 80% less than other high-end brands. And the best part? They're all about safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. Get that luxury vibe without the luxury price tag. Hit up quince.com/upgrade for free shipping and 365-day returns on your next order. That's quince.com/upgrade.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Hi, I'm Daniel, founder of Pretty Litter. Did you know cats tend to hide symptoms of sickness and pain? I learned this the hard way after losing my cat, Gingy. So I created Pretty Litter, a health monitoring litter that helps detect early signs of illness by changing colors, saving you money and potentially your cat's life. Pretty Litter is veterinarian developed, and it's the easiest way to keep tabs on your fur baby's health right at home.
Go to prettylitter.com and use code ACAST for 20% off your first order and a free cat toy. Terms and conditions apply. See site for details.